You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back to work for the Cleveland Browns, looking for their third consecutive win in a row. They've got to do that on the road. Business trip, red alert. Always got to be a business trip when you're not used to winning away from home. And sadly, we know that has way too often been the case for past editions of the Cleveland Browns. Great to have you along, everybody. Michael Regei, Matt Wilhelm. We've got a very strong hour to go. A lot to get into, and it is hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. That's how you do it here on Wednesdays. Hashtag your tweets with Mailbag Wednesday, and away we go. Our producer, Matt Fontana, how are you today, Matty?
Good, guys. How are you?
We're great. How about we dive into our hashtag Mailbag Wednesday? What do we have from our Browns Nation today?
Let's kick it off with Billy. He asks, I saw Justin Gilbert in on a play on Sunday. Is he starting to get out of Mike Pettine's doghouse, and could he see some more reps this weekend?
I think it was because of some of the shakeup in our defensive backfield with the potential of losing Joe Hayden and K'Wan Williams being injured as well. That's where Justin Gilbert stepped in and was a part of the game planning going into the week because of the question marks in the defensive backfield. I think, as Nathan alluded to earlier, there are still some things in his game technique-wise he has to fine-tune. He is still very raw in our eyes and in my eyes and probably in Coach Pettine's eyes as well. He's still a question mark in the defensive backfield. So there will be reps, but they will be limited moving forward.
Yeah, I think he got about the same amount of reps he had against Tennessee. A game ago before Pittsburgh, and I believe that was 9. He was in on the final couple of Pittsburgh drives, and of course the game was decided. But something that I've talked about before, and in talking to his Oklahoma State coaches and me doing college football, you know, Matt, they feel that, you know, the guy was such – they made him almost – even though he was playing on the corner, it was almost like he was a center fielder in baseball. You know, in other words, if you dissect something, just go ahead and we want you around the football. So they thought they'd put him in position to get around the football. To me, what that was saying, maybe he's just more of an innately skilled guy with such an abundance of talent, but he does need cleanup work on his tech and on his fundamentals. And I think that's something that has been just a big eye-opener for this young man coming into the NFL and the work that Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill wants to have done from him to earn the opportunity to get on the football field.
That being said, this is an offensive league. You know, college football is an offensive league. I mean, I think statistically the average in the NFL is 24 points per game. In college football, it's 30 points a game, especially down there in the Big 12, where Justin Gilbert got a lot of his competition. Is, you know, they're giving – you saw Baylor and TCU combined for 100 and some odd points and 1,200 yards. So what you could imagine was Justin Gilbert was put in those situations to make the most plays against very elusive offenses, and he had that free reign to make those plays. Well, you get into the NFL game where you have to be very fine-tuned, and you are under a spotlight, you know, consistently going against a very top-tier receiver, and he's being exposed by the lack of discipline he had to play with, which was all expected of him in college, but now he's expected to play a certain way in a certain scheme with certain technique, and he deviates back to old habits consistently.
Yeah, well, that's a very good way to put it. Mike Pettine said today, improving, accepting the coaching, and understanding what is needed and necessary from him. So maybe that's your jumping-off point. We'll see this week if that translates into reps. Maddie, what else do we have on hashtag Mailbag Wednesday?
Again, you guys can tweet at Browns_daily using the hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. Nick asks, how do you guys think Greco will do filling in for Alex Mack?
I think John Greco, because I saw him a lot during his collegiate days. Guy from Youngstown, of course, played at the University of Toledo, was a proud Rocket. He and Andrew Hawkins, by the way, were teammates with the Rockets. Greco played all five positions on that offensive line, Matt, and gained all MAC honors in doing so in his 4 years as a starter. Played every one of them. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that he's a center by trade, but it is in his background. It's something that's not totally unfamiliar with him. I love the way last week, very first snap, Dick LeBeau tested him. They called a zone blitz up the middle in the A-gap, and Greco and McQuiston handled it well. Although we do seem to sense that if Nick McDonald, who just got back today, they're very high on him. This is another young man from Grand Valley State, Division II, but the Ray Farmer very high on him. I get the sense that if they could get McDonald up to speed, they'd rather insert him, who is a natural center, and keep Greco at right guard, where he and Mitch Swartz have been playing so well on that right side this year.
I concur, and I really do think it's you'd love to have Greco where at this point this season he's gotten a few hundred reps playing next to Mitchell Schwartz and an entire season last year, and get that reserve in at the center position. The one thing that will be a concern, because you can overcome, you know, his play, and I don't think his play, obviously you're not going to be able to replace Alex Mack, but there will be a drop. But I think it's you can put a Band-Aid in this zone scheme without really feeling like there's going to be a drop in production or a drop in performance by him as a player. You can cover up some of the inadequacies he might have in not playing thus far this season because you get Greco back at his position where he is the strongest, not playing out of position, not having to deal with, you know, making the line calls and also to snapping the ball to Brian Hoyer, shotgun snapping, and so on and so forth. So I think that is our best bet, even though we saw Greco didn't miss a beat at center.
No, he didn't. No,
which is a great
good.
Thing.
It is in his background. Now, that's probably the least of the five positions he played at Toledo. But, again, it's in his background. And Matt, the other thing I believe about this, too, is that they'd rather have Paul McQuiston, who stepped into Greco's right guard spot, they have no backups, really, or they don't list backups for Joe Thomas and Mitch Swartz.
Right.
Either one of them. Now, McQuiston's that guy.
And when he came in the game at guard against the Steelers, I go, he's a tackle by nature, is
by
he
trade.
Not? Because you look at him,
trade.
6'5 plus, long, lean guy for an offensive lineman. I'm like, he looks like a tackle.
He does.
But again, another boat of confidence for this offensive line is he stepped in and did a great job in that zone scheme as well throughout the Steeler game.
And then the other option would be to keep Greco at center, and even if you want to keep McQuiston on the sidelines in case, in case something happened to either Joe Thomas or Mitch Schwartz, so that he could stay honed in at one of the tackle spots, Vincent Painter is the other option. Again, if you wanted to keep Greco at center, then Painter would have to be the guy to come in and play that right guard spot. Again, if you wanted to keep McQuiston at a tackle backing up Thomas and Schwartz.
I think whoever gives us the most gelling, the most camaraderie, the most whoever works best together is the group we go with.
That's today through Friday, too.
Exactly.
And especially today and tomorrow, the heavy days.
Those are the heavy days. And so whoever can develop that rapport the fastest is the group we go with. And I really don't think, because the one thing you don't want to do is get into Sunday's game and have to mix and match and mix and match. You want to go in set and have gotten, umpteen and 50, 60, 70 practice reps in this week's game plan with the person you're playing next to.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Fontana, here we go. Got any more for us?
We do, and you guys actually just mentioned this gentleman. Paul tweets in. He goes, guys, what about Vincent Painter? Can he step in and play anywhere?
They like him, but we're – it's the same thing that we use, the same term we've heard about 18 gamillion times over the course, the small sample size thing, right? We have fun with that as it's being related to the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, but that's what you have in Vincent Painter. I mean, it's not a young man who has played a lot of football yet. And so, again, they like him, but they don't have tangibly a lot in game competition, game reps to go by.
I agree. And I think that, again, I'll say for the last time we'll kind of put this all to bed is today and tomorrow's body of work with that offensive line, and the coaches will mix and match now. It will be defined by Friday and be defined, therefore, moving into the game Sunday.
Yes, and by the way, just so for the background, young man from Virginia Tech was a solid O-lineman for Frank Beamer. Last year was with Denver, practice squad almost the entire year. I believe he might have gotten up on the roster, active roster, for the last couple of games a year. But I don't think he played, if I remember correctly. I do not believe that he appeared in the
game. I don't either.
You know, 6'5", 310, but has not appeared in a National Football League game as of yet. So, I mean, there you go. Matt, anything else?
That's it for right now, guys.
That's it for right now. All right, 216-578-0850. All of you can jump on board, as we said. Make sure you hashtag it. Hashtag your tweet, Mailbag Wednesday, at Michael Reguy, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Browns _ daily. And, again, this is going to be that's going to be one of the very interesting things, because, as we know, Browns Nation, we need not tell you, I had – goosebumps again as I tweeted it out on Sunday about, and you know where I'm at with this, and Matt said he was with me last week about, I am absolutely over, as a football guy that likes physical play, I'm absolutely overjoyed with the fact that this football team now, the Cleveland Browns, Matthew Wilhelm, can you get 2nd and 7 inside the 10? You get 3rd and 3 from the 4. You can run the football now. You do not have to always have to look into that constricted end zone with all those bodies in those tight windows and now know, well, we can't run the football and we got to throw it. No more. This football team inside the 10 in the red zone, they can take the thing to the house. I mean, I'm as overjoyed and ecstatic about that, seriously, as anything, because to me, that's the way you win in the NFL.
Yes,
that is the way
right.
You win.
And there were times in that Pittsburgh Steelers game where my gut was, why are we still running it? Throw the ball, when we had a little bit of frustration. But again, it's part of the bigger plan.
Yeah.
It just set up runs later in the game. It wore them down for plays later in the game. It set up passes down the field off of certain actions in the run game. There's a method to the madness that is Kyle Shanahan. We just all have to stick in and believe.
No question about it. And again, you know, Matt and I reference this a lot. Nathan does too. When you get a chance, you know, take a look at the All 22. Go back and look at the block. Ben Tate's first TD. It just basically strictly a power ISO play, but the block that Jim Dre got as he came down, Matt, and cleaned up linebackers in that A-gap, well, I mean, was outstanding. I mean, that is the way you draw it up. That's running the football with a want and a will to when you got an offensive line. You know, I hate to use the expression, but hat on a hat, and you got guys being – you see defenders being moved, stood up and moved off the ball. Holes created, touchdown.
We talked about it early about the catches of Dre and Cameron, but what we really shined a light on was the blocking performances of Barnage, Dre, and Cameron in that run game. And without those, you can't have success on the ground.
No, you absolutely can't. So, all right. We're going to get Scotty Petrak in from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. We always enjoy our Wednesday visits with Scott. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Will Helms here. I'm Reguy. We got you to 3 o'clock right here on ESPN Cleveland. Don't go away. Scott Petrak is next, and then a lot more with your thoughts. So you got things you want to dialogue about, maybe your thoughts on Mike Pettine and how he looks at the Jacksonville Jaguars. He says, don't get caught into the winless group or the group that Matt said is down at the bottom of every statistical ranking. He said their scheme could potentially be troublesome to the Cleveland Browns. Is that just head coach speak? Or is Mike Pettine throwing out some warnings that we ought to pay attention to? All that and more. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford.